don't I? Y'all had a good week so far. And it's good to see all y'all at Sunday school this morning. Man, there's a bunch of y'all out there. That's what I like to see. No, I had a good week. My wife was supposed to be there. I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way because some of y'all be asking, I thought your wife was coming. I thought she was too. And then I didn't wake up on time. And I'm supposed to help get the kids ready and do all these kind of things. When you drive an hour and a half to get to church, you know, you got to kind of plan things out a little bit. Well, we had a really good plan when we started last night, and then I didn't wake up on time. So she didn't have enough time to get ready, so she wasn't able to make it. So she apologized for that. She told me to tell y'all that she was sorry, but really, I was the one that messed that up, and I was the one who kind of made all that happen that way. So it was my fault, and I'm sorry about that. But like I said, when you're going that far, you got to make sure everything's together, and I just woke up too late. So that's just all I can say about it. I came in here as quickly as possible. I dodged every cop on the way here. But I'm here, so that's all that matters. I'm here, so we can get started this morning. We kind of talked over the past few weeks about what the church needs and what the church needs to grow and what the church needs to happen to develop and to get a new pastors in. We talked about all these different things. And this week I was going to do something a little more controversial. Every once in a while, you kind of need to hear things that are not always comfortable. And but God led me in a different direction, and I'll be able to maybe teach on something that I've looked at. And I kind of was going through the Word of God, and you know, when you're studying, when you're reading, and you're studying the Word of God, you come across things that you've heard all your life, right? Yeah, things you've heard all your life, sayings. Churches are really bad about just cliche things that we say, right? But when you start studying them and you start reading them and you start applying them, they just don't quite make sense anymore. Then you understand that doctrinally it just doesn't add up anymore. And that's what ends up happening. And I think a lot of times we have sayings that we just use, but we don't really know how they fit. And there's some controversial things that I would like to talk about. I'm not going to do it this morning, but I hope I can talk about it eventually when I come back, because I want you to understand studying the Word of God is a very important thing. Actually studying the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth according to 2 Timothy 2:15, knowing what sound doctrine is, and studying the Word of God, that is the most important thing you can do in your life. And we fail on it. We've gotten to this point in church where everybody just listens to what the preacher has to say. That's all they care about. If the preacher says it, it must be fact, right? Well, there's been times that in my short time of preaching that I've preached things that I would not preach anymore. You say, well, shame on you. Well, no, you learn as you go, folks. I study to show myself approved unto God, too. I have to study daily. I have to try to rightly divide the word of truth, and when I preach something, I may go back and go, oh, that didn't line up quite right, and I have to change it. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's been times where I've preached sermons, and I have people come up and say, hey, have you ever looked at it like this? And me say, you know what? I was wrong. Well, that's hard to admit, ain't it? You ought to be the one up here trying to admit it. It's easy for you to admit it because, you know, you're not up here in front of everybody doing it, right? It's a little different. But it's the same thing. I've told you before, I am no different from anybody else. God just called me to preach. That's the only difference. God called me to preach, and I'm up here, and God hadn't called you yet. It doesn't give you an excuse to not know what the Word of God says. And so I want to talk about that eventually, but I want you to understand, everything you hear in a pulpit, just don't take it for fact. You need to study it for yourself. If there's something that somebody says and you don't quite understand it, it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to actually get in the Word of God and say, you know what? I don't know exactly how that lines up, but I'm in a mode where they sit there and they say, well, I don't know how to study the Word of God. I hear that a lot. And I've heard it a lot lately, it seems like. We talk about it a lot at work, and these guys are sitting there saying, well, I don't know how to study the Word of God. I'm not a preacher like you. Well, there's different tools you can use to study the Word of God. Yes, you can go get commentary. help you, and they can get you in the right direction. But I'm here to tell you right now, if you'll read the Word of God, you'll learn how to study it. Amen. If you just pick it up every once in a while, you'll learn how to study it. It's a living book. That's what it's meant to do. It's meant to prick your heart. And the Word of God is not that hard to explain. It's not that hard to understand. We try to make it more complicated than what it is. Jesus Christ, everything's a mystery. You'll never be able to... No, He gave it to you so that you could know how to live a good life. How that you could be saved. How that you could tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. He gave you the book for those reasons. Now you have to study it. Now you have to read it. You have to pick it up every once in a while. You can't just expect the preacher to come in on Sunday and tell you everything you need to know. It doesn't work that way. This morning, that ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But it does. I was turning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to try to go quickly this morning. I'm going to meet with the people that are getting baptized right after Sunday school. So we'll meet with all of you that are getting baptized. We'll come back to the back room back here. And we'll meet, and then I promise I'll preach fast this afternoon. Yeah, y'all like, no, he won't. Y'all going to wake up in a minute. You see, I've been woke up since my wife was on me, so I'm ready to go now. I'm a little agitated as it is, so I'm ready to preach right now. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says, not that I speak in respect of, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, I got to start wearing my glasses more often. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with me with my affliction. Now ye Philippians, I tell you, man, I'm struggling. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity. Not abound to your account. Paul talking here about being content with the things that you have. We're not content with the things that we have anymore. You live in that life. Nothing's good enough anymore. We were playing with the kids. Me and my dad were out in the pasture. We were feeding some horses. I don't have horses. I hate horses. Amen. Why have a horse when you can have a four-wheeler? They don't talk back. You just add gas to them, which I'm beginning to think maybe a horse is a better idea. I don't like horses, but my kids like to pet the horses and feed the horses. And we were giving them these little treats that my dad had bought. And, you know, they were having a good time. And they ran out of treats. You know, that happens. The whole jug's gone in like 5 minutes because they just dumping them out towards the horse. And I remember them getting upset and they were complaining about it. And my dad was sitting there and he was like, it just isn't good enough for you, is it? We bought a whole jug of them and it's just not good enough. And you know, that's kind of how life is. That's how we are as adults too. It's just not good enough. Everything that you have, everything that you've accomplished is never good enough. You're not content with what things that you have. You sit there and you think about your careers. You say, well, I got to make X amount of dollars. Well, that's good. I understand you have to make a living and you have to be able to support your family, and I understand that. And if you're in a corporate position, you ought to try to grow yourself and be able to get more money and develop in those things, and I understand all of those things. But it's never good enough. If you make $100, you got to make $500. If you make $500, you got to make $1,000. It's never good enough. You'll always find something to spend it on, right? Yeah, I know. I've been there. I sit there and think about myself, and I sit there and think, I drive this little silver car out here. I hate that car. Can't stand that little car. I can't get in and out of it. I'm too big to fit in it, but I wad myself up in that little car, and I drive it back and forth. And I complain about it a lot. I catch myself, I complain about it. Why do I have to drive this car? I used to have a nice truck, and then it blew up. It wasn't so nice anymore. I used to have a nice one. You know, it was taller than it should have been. It was louder than it should have been. You know, it was all that stuff that people like. And I used to drive it around, and I liked it until the engine finally gave out on it. And when we got ready to trade it in, you know, I kept thinking, I'll get another truck. Well, no, we needed a family vehicle because we're going to have a daughter. So what do we get? We got a Jeep. Guess who got the car? You're looking at him. Yeah, big boy in a Corolla. And I remember sitting there thinking, why do I got to drive this car? You know, get in the Jeep, make sure she ain't got to go somewhere, or either do like I did some last year and put a turkey on the back end of the Corolla. It looks weird, but it can happen. I'd strap a deer to it if I could. But I'm not content with it all the time. Why? Because it's not what I want. But then I sit back and I get to thinking, you know, we live in a day and age where gas is $3.99 a gallon. And it gets 42 miles to the gallon. And then I go to churches that are farther away. You know, maybe God knew what he's doing. If I was getting 9 miles to the gallon still, I'd probably be not as well off. It'd be a little bit more of a struggle. But 42 miles to the gallon, that ain't so bad now. If I wasn't so against electric, I'd buy a Tesla. Amen. But I sit there and I think about how we just can't be content with anything in our life. We're not content with where we're at. It's not just the things in your life, but it's also the church you're not content with anymore. Right? If it isn't done your way, you're not content anymore. If it doesn't line up exactly like you think it ought to line up, then all of a sudden it's a problem. That's how we live it, right? You can't be content with things because it's not the way that you think it should be done. It's not ran the way that you thought it should be ran. Here's the thing. You're not getting up in the pulpit trying to do it either. Oh, me, right? My dad used to tell me that all the time. He said, it's easy for the people in the pew to sit there and tell you how to do what God called you to do because they ain't the ones doing it. And you get to that position where you're sitting there going, I'm just not content with the preacher anymore. We ought to kick him out and get a new one. Or you're not content with this church anymore, so guess what you do? You go find you a new one, right? You go find you one that does something a little different. My dad's dealing with that right now. We got two families that left the church. Two families left Bible Believers Baptist Church. My dad's tried to help them. My dad's tried to encourage them. He's preached out of that book just the best he knows how to. And guess what ends up happening? They just left. Why? Because they had to find something better. The kids weren't getting enough. That was the excuse. Kids didn't have enough stuff. What about the church? What about just preaching the Word of God? What all do they got to have? I'm all for youth outings. Don't mistake me. I think you ought to have them. I think you ought to be able to have services, especially for the youth. I think that's good. I think it helps the youth grow. And I think you can sit there and say, you know what, I can teach them something. I can teach them on their level maybe a little bit better. And I think those things are great, but they still ought to be hearing the Word of God preached. That's how they're going to grow, is through the Word of God. But you get where you're not content with it anymore. When things get hard, you just have to move. And that's why people don't stay in church anymore. It's the reason why these churches are dwindling down so much. Content is not comfortable. It's not comfortable. They're two different things. Sometimes being content is comfortable, but sometimes being content is not comfortable. Paul's dealing with a lot of things here. You can see where he's talking about he knows how to be abased, and he knows how to going through all these lists of things, and he's telling you all this to say, hey, I can be content in any situation that I'm in. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter what's going on. I can be content in this thing. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Because of what Jesus Christ has shown me. And then he gets over into verse 17 and he says, not because I desire a gift. You see, he's not asking for these things because he wants something. That's where we are. Say, I want this. I've got to have more money. I've got to have more things. I've got to have more time. I've got to have all this stuff. And God, you should be giving it to me because you're not content with what you have over here. It's not because he desired something. He desired the fruit that may abound to your account. He was talking to these Philippians over here and he's saying, you know what? It was for you. It was your benefit that I wanted it. Why? Because God will supply all your needs. God will supply all your needs. In verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll give you all your needs. Not always all your wants. Yeah, that hurts, don't it? That hurts. There's a lot of things I've wanted. I didn't get them. I'm going to want a new truck, but I ain't going to get it right now. That's all right. I still get back and forth. I ain't never missed a day of work unless I chose to. I never missed a day of work. It gets me there. I've never missed a preaching date. Not one. I've showed up to every single one of them. Why? Because that car just keeps on going. I don't have the strain of going, I wonder if I can make it there on X amount of tanks gas. I don't have to think about that because you know what? I get 42 miles a gallon. Is it comfortable? No. Is it what I want? No. But I'm content. I'm content. I understand it's what God wants me to do right now. I sit there and think about it in the Word of God, and it says over in First Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Now I like that because it doesn't say for everything give thanks. Yeah. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. There's going to be things that happen in your life that come up in your life, and you're going to sit there and go, well, I don't know how to thank God for that. No, it's in everything. It's being content in the situation that you're in. You say, well, you don't understand what I'm dealing with. I don't understand what you deal with. I have no idea what you deal with on a day-to-day basis. And neither do you know what I go through. It goes both ways. But here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. If I sit there and I go, in this situation, I'm just going to praise him anyways, God will help you. God will take care of you. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad the situation gets. If you'll just praise him anyway, it's going to work out. Now, you've lost your praise a lot. Yeah. The church has just completely lost its praise. You used to sit there, and I remember as a kid sitting in Victory Baptist Church, and I remember sitting back there, and we sat in the last row on the right side because we're good Baptist, very back corner. And I remember watching those men get up there and just shouting Brother Steve down when he was preaching, just getting it. Every time he'd make a good point, boy, they'd just shout him amen. They'd just raise their hands. Man, when people would get saved, they'd lose their minds. We're going to have a baptismal service here in a little while. And if you'd have went to one at Victory, oh, man, y'all would have felt uncomfortable. Because they knew how to do it. They knew how to do church. I mean, when they walked in the doors, they got the church on. They enjoyed the things of God. But we've lost our praise now. Some people say, well, it's because of COVID. No, COVID ain't got nothing to do with that. Y'all lost it before COVID ever got here. Let's get that. Okay? It was gone way before COVID came. And you've gotten to that point where you just sit back and you go, you know what? I can't praise Him the way I used. Why can't you? Because you're not content where you're at. Things don't work out the way you want them to work out. Maybe somebody got sick and you lost somebody. You lost a family member. Maybe your marriage fell apart and you didn't know how to handle it. Maybe your finances are just crumbling and you don't know what to do next. Maybe you've gotten the sickness and you're sitting there going, I don't know how to deal with this problem, God. It's not for everything. It's in everything. Give thanks. It's in the situation. I'm still going to praise God because why? Because He's God. Let's just get it real, folks. Just praise Him because of who He is. He doesn't have to fix it. He doesn't have to change it. He doesn't have to do anything that He doesn't want to. He's still worthy of the praise. But we don't want to give it to Him. Because it's not comfortable. It isn't the way I wanted it. It doesn't matter. He still deserves it. He just died on the cross for your sins, right? Come on now, that's all it was. It was just a little bloodshed, right? Yeah, He just hung on the cross for you. That was all that He did. Wasn't good enough? That's the way we act sometimes, right? That's the way we live our lives. It wasn't good enough. You're not content with it. I'm here to tell you right now, if you woke up in hell, you'd be content with it. When you wake up in heaven one day and you realize what all He did do for you, you might get a little bit of praise back. I bet you'll get a little pep in your step when you get in heaven. I got a feeling when we get to heaven, they're going to run over us. We're going to be like, who done it? I can imagine you just trying to get to the throne of Jesus Christ and people are just saying, you know what? I'm going to run over them because they ain't got it yet. They ain't to my level. I've been praising Him in all this trial and all this struggle. And them folks right there, they don't care because they got it too good. They weren't content with just church over here, but I was content with it. And guess what? I'm going to run them over getting to Jesus Christ. But that's how you live your life. Now here's the thing. Are you content with your church? I know the situation's difficult. I get that, okay? You're going through a pastor change. That's hard. Yeah. It's difficult to find somebody. Yeah, it's real difficult to find somebody to preach it straight out of that book right there. But you go to church and I go to church after church after church and I find out they've got to have it a certain way. If he doesn't wear a tie, it's not good enough. I ain't seen none of y'all wear one, so I figured it'd be all right. I had a deacon come tell me that one day. We like our preacher to wear a tie. And the suit I was wearing, I don't have a tie for it. It's just the way that it works, okay? And I wear a suit every Sunday. But I didn't have a tie on. He said, we like our preachers to wear. He's wearing shorts, flip-flops, and a polo shirt. Bro, you better check up. Don't come talking to me about dress if you ain't to the standard. But they hang on those things. They ain't content with it. It's not the way he did it. It's not the way they did it. It's not the way my other church did it. Yeah. They're content with it anymore. You go into some of those churches and they say, well, we just want you to show up and preach and get your paycheck and go home. Well, amen. Hallelujah. Not to be involved at all. But then the next sentence they say, but we need you to make sure you go to the hospital and we need to make sure that you go on visitation because we're not going to go. And we want to make sure that you're a part of this and a part of that. Ain't that amazing how that works? You got to be the most involved person, but you ain't got no say-so. Just take your paycheck and go home. Don't worry about the finances. Don't worry about the state of the church. Don't worry about helping anybody. But bless God, when somebody goes to the hospital, you better go. Yeah. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, didn't like it. It's amazing how that stuff works. Because people aren't content. You can't be like Paul and just say, you know what? In Acts, he says, I think myself happy. You ever been there? You ever had to think yourself happy before? I have. When everything in my world was falling apart and everything was going wrong and all the situations were bad, I remember when COVID first hit and my uncle got sick. Now, I know some of you say, well, it's just the uncle. Well, you don't understand. Our family lives on a 257-acre farm. Everybody lives up there. You can't get away from folks. My mother has four sisters. That's a bunch. My grandfather could not figure out how to have a boy, so he had five. I have one and don't know how he dealt with five. That would just drive me nuts. Just playing. My wife's not here. I'm already in trouble. I can't get in any more trouble than I'm already in, okay? But we all live up there. We're a big family. We have a good time together, and we do things together. Every Christmas, we're always together. And you can see them on a daily basis. And I remember when he got sick, and I remember everybody praying for him, and I remember asking God to change it and to fix it, and things just got worse and worse. Passed away. And then people, you know, wanted to argue COVID's real, COVID's not. Hey, it's real, okay? Now, they take it too far, but it's real. Okay, it did kill folks. We can talk about what it is later, but it's real. But he passed away. And I remember us as a family going through saying, you know, we prayed for that to change. I remember sitting by my bed and weeping over it, just asking God to fix it, asking God to change it. And he still passed away. I remember 1 week after he passed away, 1 week after he passed away, my niece calls me on the phone on my birthday, January 1st, and said, we lost Maddie. Her baby was stillborn. And I remember sitting there saying, God, why would you do this? Well, how am I going to lose my uncle, and now we're going to lose the baby? And I don't understand. We prayed for it. We prayed that the baby would be healthy. We prayed that Mike would get better. And I remember some weeks after all of it was over and you finally get to sit back and reflect on what's gone on, and me going, I'm not content with the situation. I don't know how to handle it, God. It's just supposed to be comfortable. Everything's supposed to be easy, God. I mean, come on, I'm preaching, God. I'm singing, God. I'm doing the right things, God. It's supposed to be comfortable. But in that moment, it wasn't. And I remember sitting back thinking, you know, I never one time prayed, God, just let your will be done on this situation. And in everything, I'll praise you. See, I'm real with you. I don't have no problem telling you my faults, okay? There may be some preachers that get up here and try to act like they better than everybody else. I ain't one of them. If I can show you something I did wrong to help you, I'll do it every day. I ain't got no problem telling you where my faults are. And I know in that moment I should have said, you know what, God, thy will be done. And in everything, I'm going to give you praise anyways. And I remember a few weeks later getting on my knees before God saying, you know what, you're still good. God, Mike doesn't have to suffer anymore. The one that Mike sang sang about, he finally got to meet. The one that Mike gave his life for, he finally got to see him. He finally got to put his eyes on him. He doesn't have to deal with all the things of this world anymore. You see, he's got it better than we got it. I think about Maddie. Maddie never had to live one day in this filthy, stinking world. Woo! That's good right there. I don't care whether you like it or not. That's good. You say, well, that's losing a baby. I understand it's tough on the parents. But when you break that thing down, boy, she didn't ever have to deal with it. The first thing she ever saw was God. Man, that's good. I got kids and I'm terrified of what they're going to grow up in. But Maddie ain't got to. Maddie don't have to. Maddie's standing before Jesus Christ right now, just giving all the praise and all the glory. Sitting there saying, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for all you did for me. I didn't even get to live no life down there, but you did it anyway. Mike's thinking up, sitting up there before God right now. He's probably ticked off because Alabama didn't make it farther in the tournament. Duke didn't either. Amen. I'm still a little salty about that too. I think that's what started my problem last night. It was just a thing that was escalating on me there. But I can imagine Mike being up there, and you know, he's just giving God the glory because he's finally content. As a church, you need to learn how to be content with what things that you have. It doesn't always have to have more. It doesn't always have to be better. It doesn't always have to be bigger. Just be content with where you're at right now and what God's given you. And in everything, just thank Him. In everything, just praise Him. He's worthy of it. He deserves it. This morning, I hope that you got something out of the Word of God. And like I said, if we're going to go into the morning service, I need to meet with all the people that are getting baptized back here in one of them rooms. I don't care which one y'all get in, just get in one of them so I can get with y'all and kind of tell you what we're going to do this morning and how it's going to go. But I hope you got something out of the Word of God. Brother Scott, close in a word of prayer, please.